Hello, I'm Dave King.
And I'm Alicia Reid. And this is Rotary Unscripted, the podcast from Rotary Magazine for Great Britain and Ireland.
And we're back in the studios of Swindon 105.5, where, as ever, the microphone's alive, the clock is unforgiving, and the conversation tends to take a life of its own.
This month, we're looking at Rotary through a slightly wider lens, not just what it does, but how it operates when the stage becomes truly global.
And we'll be hearing from Rotary International President Francesco Arezzo, a leader who stepped into the role unexpectedly and now finds himself guiding Rotary at a moment that demands clarity, pace, and perhaps above all, unity.
And we'll also be joined by Dave McCleary, the chair of the Rotary Action Group Against Slavery, and we'll be exploring how Rotary is responding to modern slavery and why global events like the World Cup bring both risk and opportunity.
And finally, we'll speak to Steve Martin, well known to many Rotarians, Liverpool fan, don't mention Paris Saint-Germain, whose latest initiative uses football, arguably the world's most universal language, to connect Rotary across continents.
So, from global leadership to grassroots connection, and from sport to social impact, this is Rotary operating without borders. Our first guest is the leader of Rotary's global network of more than 1 million members. Francesco Arezzo is a member of the Rotary Club of Ragusa in Italy and became president of Rotary International last July. Francesco's an orthodontist by profession and has spent more than 3 decades in Rotary, serving in a range of international leadership roles, including Rotary International Director and Vice Chair of the Joint Strategic Planning Committee. And he takes on the presidency with a clear message: unite for good, calling on Rotarians to bring people together in a world that often feels incredibly divided. Francesco, welcome to Rotary Unscripted.
Thank you. It is a pleasure and an honour for me to be here.
It's wonderful to have you. And I'm absolutely intrigued. How did you come to be president in an unexpected way?
Really unexpected, yes. It was so quick that I didn't have time to connect, to think. And when I was more conscious of the reality, it was too late to refuse.
So it really wasn't an option for you. So how was the reaction from your family?
My wife was very comprehensive. She was not probably happy, but was very supportive. The worst reaction was from my daughter, the daughter that works with me in the office, that runs with me the clinic, the orthodontic clinic. When she knew this appointment, she began to cry. She began to cry because she saw herself alone in the clinic without the puppy, and she was very worried.
So you run a very united work routine there. So suddenly you had to unite with the rest of the world on a Rotary stage. So how did you manage to transition that suddenly from work to Rotary?
I have spoken many times about this. It was a very difficult moment, because it was not easy suddenly to cut with your life, with your job, and to wear the role completely new of international president. It was possible for three reasons. The first was the support of my family, because also my daughter then was very supportive. The second was the great support that I found in the board, because all of them were very, very welcoming, and they understood that it was not easy for me, and so they were so supportive for all the year. And the third was the great support of the staff. The staff in Evanston, the staff in Zurich, the staff everywhere has been one of the main reasons of the success of the year. I am very grateful to them, all of them. I think that it was a team process, because without having a team, you cannot change suddenly from your private life to be an international president.
And that, of course, is something that unites us as Rotarians, isn't it? We get behind each other and help each other out when needed. Because I know in a role such as district governor, there's normally a year and more of preparation that you can go to. And, of course, you've had to put your planning into high speed and to bring together your message of Unite for Good. So how did you manage to bring all of those ideas together for your message?
The message was immediately very familiar to me. I like a lot this message, because it is the same way that I live my Rotary. Unite means to stay together, to try to work together, to plan together, to find solution together. And this is what I have done for all my life, in my clubs, in my district, in my zone. So it was natural to bring this message also to the international level. And what I find that is wonderful in this message is also that unite means also unite in the time. And so it's so important to cooperate and to work together, not only the actual international president, but it's important to work with the next and with the nominee. We have to work like one man, and we have to think together, we have to evaluate together, we have to plan together. And I found in Inka Babalola and in Larry Lunsford two people that have the same idea, and they are very open to work together. And we have decided a lot of things together during this year.
Is there something that you've noticed around the world as you've travelled that is the one thing that unites a club on an individual level, the members in the club particularly, because there can be lots of divisions within clubs, lots of different ideas? Do you have a top tip to unite the club in itself?
This is part of peace. We cannot profess peace to the other and to say to other people that they have to work in peace between them if we are not able to stay in peace before. If we want to speak about peace, we have to practice peace. We cannot only speak about peace. We have to live peace every day, in our family, in our friendships, in our club, in our job. Everywhere we practice and we live. And then, after we have practiced peace, then we can speak to other people that they have to practice peace.
Absolutely. The work starts at home, doesn't it? Always. Straying a little bit further away from home, I'd love to hear about your trip to Pakistan. So you had a lot of involvement with the reality of polio there. Can you speak to us about that?
In Pakistan, yes. It was the first trip of my career as international president, and was so strong for me. It was a great trip. It is a wonderful country with wonderful people also. But they still have polio endemic. And there I lived one of my strongest experience in my career of Rotarians, in all the 37 years of Rotary that I have had. Because when we vaccinated a group of children, about 30, then we decided to take a picture. And they began to run toward the tree. All of them except one, a small girl of 3 years, probably less. She was not able to run or to walk because she was paralyzed by polio. Both of her legs were paralyzed, and she began to work, to walk by the arms. And that for me was too strong. I was not ready. I was not ready to see a child of 3 years paralyzed by polio. Because we read on the statistics, on the paper, 3 cases, 4 cases, and it is a statistic, it is a number, it is something written, but I realized that every number in those statistics is a child paralyzed, is a child without a future, is a child without dignity, is a child without the possibility to have a normal life. What I realized in that moment was that if we finished the campaign 3 years ago, the girl was healthy. And so it is so important that we finish as soon as possible, because each number is a tragedy. Each number is something that we don't see, but is really a great, big, unmeasurable tragedy for one person.
What's your reaction to the UK government's decision to cut the international aid when it comes to the polio eradication drive?
The reaction, of course, is to... We are very disappointed, of course. I understand the political moment is so strange. And so I have to say that the UK government is not the only government that reduced or cancelled the support. A lot of other governments in Europe and out of Europe reduced the support, the contribution. And just in this moment, that is a very favorable moment because the virus is circumscript in a very small area in this moment in Afghanistan and Pakistan. So it is the right moment to push, to try to finish. And just in this moment, we have a reduction of the money that we can use. Yes, we are trying to use better the money that we have. We are trying to find other contributions. We are trying to reduce the problems. But it was really a pity that just in the most favorable moment of the last years, we have to face this kind of reduction.
And that brings me on to another financial challenge with everything that's been happening in Iran. Things have got so expensive for so many people. How is this impacting Rotary's operation?
Each war in the world is impacting the operation of Rotary International, because each war carries more needs, more problems, and each war also gives un innalzamento dei prezzi.
A rising of the cost.
So we have more things to do with higher costs, and it is not a good pay. It is not a good situation. So yes, we have to face the problems also of this war, but not only Iran. Yes, Iran is, but Ukraine that doesn't finish, Gaza that is there, is not on the screen in this moment, but it is still going. There are a lot of wars around the world that are doing very difficult the situation around the world, and we are more engaged, more engaged to try to do what we can.
And is there something that you would like each of us Rotarians as individuals and as clubs to try and do to help this situation right now?
C'è qualcosa che noi in ognuno dei nostri club come Rotariani possiamo fare per aiutare in questo momento più del solito?
But we can do two things. We can provide goods of first necessity to the population that have lost everything. For example, we have sent a lot of material to Ukraine, and now we have to send. And then we have always to create bridges. We never have to stop to create bridges between the population. And I said that in this moment we have to help all the people. I know that Iran is not in Rotary International, but if we can do something to alleviate the situation of Iran population, of course, we have to do something even for them, because they are person like us. They are not the devil. And it is the same thing that I have said to other clubs. We have to support Ukraine because they are in a very difficult situation. We don't have to lose the rapport with the Russian population. We have clubs in Russia, we have Rotarians in Russia, and we have to maintain the contact with them. We have to support them, to give them the proof that we don't forget the people.
Francesco, thank you for that. Just as a note on that, I was in Evanston a couple of weeks ago for a meeting of Rotary editors from around the world, and the editor of the Russian Rotary magazine was there. And that was an interesting move to have him there.
We have to maintain the bridge always between all the population, all the people. This is our job for peace. If we want to create peace, we have to create bridges everywhere, also with the enemies, because the peace has to be done with the enemies.
Francesco, thank you. That's so articulate. And also, in the background, you would have heard Dora Calkins, who's assisting with the translation. Dora, thank you very much for that. And Francesco, please stay with us. We're talking about building bridges. Let's go from Sicily, where you are at the moment, across to Atlanta in the United States to catch up with our second guest, who's Dave McCleary. Dave is chair of the Rotary Action Group Against Slavery, a global network of Rotarians working to tackle human trafficking and forced labour. As I mentioned, Dave is based in Atlanta and has been leading Rotary's efforts to move beyond awareness towards more practical preventative action. Dave's work has particular relevance right now because in terms of global sporting events, we've got the upcoming Football World Cup, and we'll talk more football later on. But it puts into spotlight the whole issue of labour exploitation and supply chains. So, Dave, welcome. Modern slavery is often described as hidden, but your work suggests actually it's far more visible, particularly around these global events. So how should people understand the scale and the reality of modern slavery today?
Yeah, thank you for having me again. Francesco and I, we met in the Birmingham Rotary Club reception at the International Convention right after you were appointed to your new position. And I remember asking, congratulating you. You said, it could be very interesting, but I'm excited to see how you've taken your role and really embraced it and made big impact. So thank you for that. So Rotary Action Group, we started or were officially sanctioned by Rotary National in 2013. We now have members in over 62 countries, and we've seen this grow. And what we realize is that human trafficking is not somebody else's problem. This is our problem. It's the one issue that literally is in every community in the world. In my home state of Georgia, we have 159 counties, and 143 of them reported human trafficking last year. And so it's everybody's issue. And I met years ago, I met a girl named Melissa from my hometown when I was president of a Rotary Club in 2012 that told her story about being trafficked at our Rotary Club. And one of our members gave Melissa a big hug after the meeting. I said, "How'd you know Melissa?" He said, "She used to babysit my kids when she was 12. And we thought, why not Rotary take on an issue like this? And just to your point on sporting events, it's really an opportunity to showcase not just the work that we're doing, but also showcase Rotary. I mean, every time I talk about this issue, when I found out about it, if it wasn't for Rotary, we couldn't elevate it to this issue. And of course, with Mark Little, the founder in the UK, has just been an incredible advocate. But Rotary is really the avenue that has expanded this issue throughout the world. And we're super excited to see the thousands of people that are not only heard about it, but also affected and lives been changed.
Yeah, Mark Little, who's a Rotarian at Norwich St Edmunds in Norfolk. Now, he sort of got the whole Rotary Action Group going almost a decade ago. And it wasn't easy, was it? It wasn't, I don't think Rotary International were very keen on it, but it's really sort of grown a pace. It's grown a sort of momentum of its own. What's happened over the last decade to really see this traction being gained through the Rotary Action Group?
Yeah, initially, I know when Mark started it, people thought it was a political issue. It was about maybe sex or something else. And we realized it's about vulnerable people. And Rotary's literally already doing the prevention work. And just one quick story. In 2015, I was at a UNICEF event talking about human trafficking. And they were talking about, and I remember thinking to myself, well, if they're doing human trafficking, who else is doing it they don't know about? So I picked up a phone and called a friend of mine and said, "Do you know President Carter?" And he said, "Yeah, I do. I'm on his board." And so 3 weeks later, I was sitting with President Carter and asked him if he would host a summit because his respect for Rotary. We hosted a global summit, and Robbie Ravenia was the president-elect of Rotary at the time, came there, met President Carter, and it really helped elevate this issue throughout Rotary. We did a program at the UN for Rotary Day, as well as a keynote in Seoul, Korea. So, again, it's because of the respect of Rotary that President Carter did that summit with us.
Someone like President Carter is the endorsement that you need. Mm-hmm. Let me just go back to that scale, because can you quantify? Do we have any idea about the scale of it? Because in the UK, we talk about nail bars and car washes, etc., people being trafficked across from over the channel. What do we know about the numbers here? Have you got anything you can give us?
So the global number is about 48 million people are being trafficked through the world right now. And one area that we're really focused on strongly now is in Asia. Mm-hmm. And so in Asia, there's something called scam centers. They're literally in public. And so we work with our NGOs there to address the scam centers and actually work with governments to try to mitigate what they're doing. And these, again, they're hidden in plain sight, but I saw just yesterday some horrible videos about young children that were in these scam centers calling the U.S. and other places to try to defraud people. And they were actually using, torture to keep them to do that. So Rotary is working in Asia right now to mitigate that.
And you've got a particular project in Vietnam?
We do. So we partner with World Vision on our between $700,000 and $750,000 grant that will be in the mountains region of Vietnam that works on educating families on scam centers, educating about human trafficking, what happens there. I was actually on the border recently with two survivors that were sold as child brides to China from Vietnam, who were rescued with one of our partners that we support. And those young women are doing amazing, actually helping now outreach to communities. And this grant will be the largest human trafficking grant that Rotary National has ever issued, and it's going to affect 10,000 lives really well.
In what way? How is it practically going to work? I think is it called Project Dignity? Is that right?
Yeah, correct. Project Dignity. So it's a holistic approach to the neighborhood. It works with economic empowerment, so teaching women, particularly women, on job skills so they never go into the life. And if they've been in the life, then they have job skills once they get out. And then it also works with the families to educate them, because what happens with these scam centers, people reach out to actually the parents and say, "We've got a really good job for your daughter or son. Can they come work for us?" And they end up going to work there and ends up being a scam center. And the parents never really knew that ahead of time. So mm-hmm. We're educating the parents on that. We're also working with safe homes, help victims that have been rescued as well. And we also work vocationally through training law enforcement, so they actually know what to do and go in. And because of the respect of Rotary, which I love, and Rotary's got some great clubs in Vietnam, that we can build, even though it's a communist government, we can build that relationship with that government, which helps build trust. And so the projects we want to do, they support.
We always talk about Rotary having that trust factor. It can, Francesco talked about building bridges, but that trust can actually move things forward and create progress.
That's correct, yeah.
Tell us, World Cup, we're excited here in England. We always think this is the year we're going to win the World Cup. 50, 60 years of hurt. How excited are you in Atlanta, which will be one of the centres for the World Cup this summer?
It's super exciting. I actually grew up playing soccer, English football here in the States. So I love the sport. But what we realize is that sporting events bring attention. And so in actually a conversation with Larry Lunsford, I had a Zone Institute. We were talking about the World Cup, and he connected me with several leaders within Rotary. And so we decided to put together something called Showcase Rotary. Not only we're going to address the human trafficking aspect of it, but we're going to host Rotarians come in from different countries. And the fact that we had this opportunity, for instance, in Atlanta, I'm working with the City of Atlanta Mayor's Office and the governor, and we're going to install a peace pole right in the center of downtown Atlanta for that event with four languages on it, and bring the governor and first lady, hopefully leaders from Rotary, and as well as we're doing a candlelight vigil on human trafficking like we did in the 2017 Atlanta Convention, and bring thousands of people there to showcase this, the issue of human trafficking, but really showcase the power of Rotary. I think, it, as you all know, that sometimes people, we do all the great work behind the scenes, and these events allow us to showcase the incredible work we do day in and day out.
Having been to the States recently, and it's quite tight, it's tough to get into the States at the moment. Serious question, how is it possible that there can be this sort of trafficking in the States when the borders are really tight right now?
Yeah, unfortunately, like I mentioned Melissa's story earlier, most of the people we've seen that are trafficking in the United States are here. They live here. They're vulnerable people. People think of the U.S. as being just everywhere is rich and have no issues. But we have plenty of vulnerable people here. Now with the internet, these predators can actually come into somebody's home via the phone. And like I mentioned, in my home state of Georgia, we had 143 counties out of 159 with trafficking victims last year. So we see that quite a bit. You know, we partner with Delta and UPS and Coca-Cola and these big corporations, and they do training to help prevent this. And so Delta's really helped from the international piece to watch out for that. But we also have trained Rotarians, not just in the States, but around the world, on signs to look for when people are being trafficked.
It's a great opportunity. And you're going to be volunteering this summer?
I am, yes. I'll be volunteering at the World Cup. I did a dual interview process, but Rotary actually helped with that because the international feel that we have, Rotary, they said, yo, you're Rotarian. That's great. So,
Francesco, the issue of human trafficking, is this something that you've noticed come to the fore in your year as president?
Unfortunately, I have spoken about this this particular problem. I know that it is unbelievably increasing with the time, because we think that slavery is something of other centuries, but it is very actual. The amount is increasing in the last years, and I am so grateful to the Rotarians that find time and courage to fight against this problem. It is a great deal. It is a great job to do. Not easy because it is difficult. It is expensive. It is very complex to fight against the slavery, the modern slavery. But it is something that is so important, and the job of the action group against human slavery is one of the, in my opinion, is not very, very big, probably because there are other action group bigger, but this is so important in my opinion.
And once again, your theme of Unite for Good, it really shows that we need to do that here. Well, our third guest will be very well known to many Rotarians across Great Britain and Ireland. Steve Martin is a past district governor, a long-standing Rotary leader in membership development, and a Rotary International coordinator with experience across the world. He's recently been selected to serve as a director on the Rotary International Board for the 2027-29 term. And alongside that, Steve is the driving force behind a brand new initiative, the Rotary Fellowship of World Football, bringing together Rotarians globally through their shared passion for the game. Steve, a big welcome to Rotary Unscripted.
Thank you very much. I didn't realise I'd done all that.
It's quite a CV you've got going on there. The Rotary Fellowship of World Football is a fascinating idea, and I don't know much about football myself, but I'm actually excited about this. So where did it come from, and what are you hoping it will become?
Came about from another podcast, would you believe, because your friend and mine, Gwen Jones, is a huge football, she's a soccer. That's one of the things that we've had a problem over, you know. So the most important thing to emphasize is that we are a group in formation at the moment. We're not established just yet. We are working on that, and it is the Rotary Fellowship of World Football Fans. Due to lots of messages via Facebook to Gwen, it has now been changed to football. She's conceded that it is football. And it was soccer lovers, but we thought, lovers, maybe not so. So we've changed it to fans. So that is our official name, the Rotary Fellowship of World Football Fans. And Gwen actually is the one that is really driving it in terms of the administration, because there's actually, when you set up a fellowship, there is quite a lot of work to do. Everything has to be done officially through Rotary International, which is exactly what we're doing. We need to get the right amount of people to join from a certain amount of countries around the world. We think we've got that all in place. So any time now, and we're hoping actually before the convention in Taipei that we're going to get this up and running, and it will be an official Rotary Fellowship. But in terms of what we want to achieve, it's a perfect time. We started a WhatsApp group about a week ago. It is nonstop. And it just proves that people have been brought together who didn't know each other from different countries right there across the world, Rotarians, that have that thing in common, and that is the love of football, but also the love of Rotary. You know, we all have the same ethos, the same beliefs. We want to achieve the same things in Rotary, you know, across the world. But football unites people. It does unite people. We all, and whatever club it might be, or country, whether it's the men's game, whether it's the ladies' game, which is becoming really, really popular. Once it's inside you, and being from Liverpool in England, I have no choice. Once it's in your blood, it stays in your blood. And, you know, we just thought we'd hit on something, myself and Gwen, and we said we need to do this. It's become really popular. We've got lots of people interested. Now we just need them to become official members, which we will do. And we are looking at doing things in the future around football, around Rotary, that is going to help. I think the simplest thing is we want to get a simple football into a community. If you can imagine the scenario where that Francesco was talking about before, where you've got a group of children in a really poor area or a disaster hit area or whatever it may be, we've all seen them as Rotarians, and you give them something as simple as a football. That's a huge thing for them. You know, it really is. So that's a very simple plan and a very basic thing we want to do. But we've already got, there's the Rotary E-Club of One World. We've got a few members already in the fellowship, and they are doing a program called the Harmony Through Soccer program. And just last week, they put on a huge football competition, 90 young people. They provided them with a competition, trophies, medals. They all got a soccer ball each at the end, all run by Rotary. And they all got food and drink afterwards as well. This is something that in that community in sort of northern Mexico would never have happened if they hadn't have stepped in. So that's the sort of thing that we're looking to do. We're looking to bring Rotarians, got a love of soccer, together. and do some good in the world.
It sounds almost like a surprise that we've not done this before, doesn't it? It's such a uniting factor.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, from my point of view, you know, it is my passion. You know, I love soccer. And it's amazing how many Rotarians you see pop up on your social media that have got a picture of themselves sitting in a football stadium, one being Dave King, of course. But across the world, you know, one of my colleagues in Portugal, from Sporting Lisbon, sat there with his green and white scarf on the other night watching a game. And it helps you connect. You know, we send each other messages, and it is about uniting to do good in the world. And anything that brings a group of Rotarians together to do good things has got to be a great fellowship.
A Notts County fan, the oldest football team in the world. Francesco may not know this, but they helped to found Juventus in the 19th century. So my team's there. They are officially the worst football team in the world because they've lost so many games. But a serious point, Steve. We were in Newcastle, what was it, about 18 months ago, and we had Mirandinha, the Brazilian footballer, come to Newcastle, brought there by Mario Cesar. And it didn't really quite take hold, but the principle was that could we use football as a means to spread the word about polio? Can you see the fellowship and football in achieving that? Is that a realistic aim?
Yeah, I think it is. I think the internationality of this fellowship is going to be huge. It really is, because football, it's everywhere. I spent quite a lot of time chatting to Mirandinha because he was the first Brazilian footballer to come to England, you know, and that's a really big thing. Very humble guy. He's still training. He still runs an academy for youngsters. But also with him was Humberto Silva. Humberto is a Rotarian, a very dedicated Rotarian, has a lot. And he was actually a football agent, and he brought Mirandinha over to the UK. So I've kept up contact with him because I feel, and I've got him involved in the fellowship, and I feel people like Humberto, who've got that experience, and his thing is hepatitis zero. That's the thing that he's trying to achieve. But of course, polio, it is huge. And, you know, we could, with people like, you know, the contacts that Dave was talking about earlier on, you know, when it comes to the World Cup, yet it would have been great to maybe have an end polio thing on a player's badge. It's happened at Barcelona. Barcelona Football Club have run out onto the pitch at the Nou Camp Stadium with end polio now on the back shirts. Why can we not do that again? And I think with the contacts that we could get through people like Humberto and Mirandinha, you know, we could achieve that.
I think that when people hear this podcast, they'll be dying to get in touch with you to find out how they can be on the list to be involved. So how would people register their interest with you?
Our Facebook page, which is the Rotary Fellowship of World Football Fans, and people can go onto there, and on there they can message us to become a member. And we'll pop them on the WhatsApp group as well, which is alive and well and full of lots of comments about this week's matches. I'm not a massive partaker in that. I just watch and see people's comments. But if people want more information, certainly in Great Britain and Ireland, they know how to get hold of me, you know, at my email address. And yeah, by all means, get in touch. The more the merrier. Let's hear about your team and let's hear what you want to do in the name football for Rotary.
And Dave, I think your interest in football is really going to strike a chord here.
Yeah, we're super excited about this opportunity to really showcase Rotary. And that peace pole that I mentioned is going to be installed in the city of Atlanta. We're going to talk about polio. We're going to talk about the things that Rotary does. The city, the mayor, I met with the mayor the other day and the governor, and they're just super excited about the work that Rotary's doing. We're reaching vulnerable people, which makes them less vulnerable to be trafficked.
And Francesco, there could be no more passionate country about football than Italy, although I sense that you're not quite a football fan.
Football in Italy in this moment is a very dangerous item to touch. It's very painful to speak about football. We are in a long and very severe crisis, but I have to say that I am practitioner of football, but I don't follow the official football.
Do you know, I was just looking through the list of Rotary fellowships, and do you know, Alicia, there's some really bizarre fellowships you can find there. There's one about bees. There's a caravanning one. There's a coffee lovers one. I think that would be one for you, coffee lovers.
I'd do that one, yeah.
There's a gin one, which is definitely up your street. Jazz and kites. Old and rare books. And finally, quilters and fibre artists. There is a fellowship of quilter and fibre artists there.
You know, the longer I do this podcast, the more I learn about Rotary and the most amazing things that many of our Rotarian that are up to around the world. It's incredible. And I was just thinking, actually, on that fellowship, Steve, I know one of the modern ways of doing Rotary is to encourage clubs to do things in their way and in a way that suits their community. But when it comes to football, there's a lot of rules, aren't there? And with a fellowship, there's going to be certain things that need to be done. So is there going to be a template for clubs to follow to join in?
Something you said there, which is about doing things differently. What we want to do is we want Rotarians, particularly people who are joining Rotary, our new Rotarians, we want them joining Rotary International. We want to enable them to look beyond the four walls of their own club. Rotary International. Mm-hmm. So much to offer everybody in every department for themselves as well, you know, and fellowships is just one of those things. So if you want to join a fellowship, the hard work actually is being done by Gwen and a couple of others, and not so much myself. I'm doing my best, but Gwen is really well organized. The hard work is getting it registered, getting the people together, getting the money together, opening the bank accounts. But if you want to join a fellowship, it's a personal thing. It's not a club thing. So you join as individuals. And actually, it's not difficult. You literally join and there is a whole world of people who have the same interests as you waiting to hear from you. And then, of course, you can report back to your club and tell the new Rotarians that not only is there a one about football, but there is one about gliding or caravanning or book reading or gin drinking.
It was an interesting thought what you're saying there, Steve, about Barcelona and the Empoli now. And maybe just to throw a question to Francesco about that, because we've got these sort of global events. Can you see a way that Rotary could use these global events perhaps more effectively as a sort of a way to promote polio, public health campaigns? Is there perhaps work that could be done here to use events like the World Cup to achieve some of our goals?
It could be very beautiful. It's not easy to find the right way to arrive to the center that decide the marketing of those events. It could be a great opportunity for Rotary, and we will try to enter, but I don't think it will be very easy.
Dave, what about yourself? I mean, you're seeing what's happening in the World Cup. American Rotary is very good at promoting itself in the communities. For example, at the New Year parades and stuff like that, it uses events really effectively. I think the New Year's parade in, is it Pasadena? Someone like that gets...
Right, the Rose Bowl parade, that's correct.
That gets a massive TV audience. How effective is that as a sort of a trailblazer for Rotary?
It's huge. I mean, we, you know, that, again, that's televised all across the world, really, for the Rose Bowl. And so it shows Rotary. And just, we started this concept in October around promoting Rotary during the World Cup. And we have a call every 2 weeks, and leaders, directors, future directors are on the call, and to see the impact we've had. Just to give you a quick example, I'm in Roswell Rotary Club. And so when people come to us with ideas, we say, get creative and do some great ideas. Well, just this year, we have 36 new members that joined our club because they want to engage in the community. And matter of fact, there was an interview by our president about how do you do that. And some of that is creating these creative ideas that people can be interested in. I mean, polio is amazing. That's what we do, but some people don't understand polio. And so the World Cup just gives us another platform to promote the amazing organization that we are.
And I think something that football could really help with is attracting members who are at the younger end. And of course, mm-hmm. this is one of our huge focuses, isn't it? And the new members you mentioned there, Dave, what's the age range of those?
Yeah, so our president this year is a legacy president. So he's under 50. And we've brought in, I think, the majority of the new members I'd say at least half the new members are under between the ages of 45 and under. Our club is, I think, 45% women. So it's a very diverse club, but it's creating those environments to get creative about things that everybody can be interested in.
Exactly. So, Steve, is this something that you're hoping for as well, to attract younger members with this initiative?
In some ways, it makes us, I'm just going to say, look normal. But, you know, we're Rotarians, but we're real people, you know. People have been talking a lot recently about, you know, about being a Rotary coordinator or being a director in Rotary. I'm a Rotarian. I have my club. I go to my club meetings. And I do things in my local community with my club. That's the most important thing. The clubs are the most important thing, and as are the people in those clubs. So, and they are the best advocate for our public image. But when it comes to adding something else in, like, oh yes, you can also join a football fellowship where you can connect with people right the way across the world who have the same interests as you, then yeah, I think it is something that we can add in. We don't talk enough about our fellowships, and we don't talk enough about our Rotary Action Groups. And they do an incredible amount of work. And I'm really looking forward to Taipei, because one of the things that I love about going to convention is wandering around that House of Friendship and seeing all the different action groups, and also those fellowships, most of whom I've never heard of before, and having conversations with people about coffee and about tea. And what have you. You know, it's all part of the experience. My biggest passion is making our new people, our new members that come into Rotary, to see that that is out there for them as well, you know?
Steve, you've opened the door. You were straining at least to mention Taipei, so let's quickly talk about the convention. Francesco will be there, certainly.
I will be there, yes, definitely.
Please be there.
So, Steve, for anyone who's thinking about, you know what, I've got nothing going on in June, why should they go to Taipei?
Go. I mean, I love that part of the world. I love, you know, that part of the world. I'm going to go off to Japan and stay in Japan for a couple of weeks as well. I'm meeting with some Rotarians in Japan. But the biggest thing about going to convention, it is about the people that you meet, the people that you already know, that you never get a chance to see. It's about those people when you sit down and you think, my feet are hurting, I need to go and get a coffee. And you sit in the House of Friendship and you sit on a table and you meet somebody from Japan, or you meet somebody from the United States or Australia. You've never met them, but you have that thing in common, you're Rotarians. And something happens, you strike up friendships, you walk around at the House of Friendship, you meet so many people, and of course, you get to listen to the most inspiring speakers. You really do. And that is one of the things, the atmosphere in the stadium, as before it goes, the music is, you know, it builds up into that crescendo. Great speakers, you learn so much that you just gives you that Rotary buzz. And when you come away from convention, you feel like you're walking on one of those escalators at the airport, you know. It really gives you a buzz. So if you've never been to a convention, now is the time to go.
And Francesco, I hear that one of the confirmed speakers is Malala.
Yes.
The young woman who was shot by Taliban gunmen, who has an heroic story to tell and was treated in Oxford. How much are you looking forward to hearing from her and the other speakers in Taiwan?
It is one of my most beautiful results. It is a great thing for us to have Malala, and it is the right conclusion of one whole year during which I have spoken about peace. And so to finish with Malala, that is a Nobel Prize not many years ago, I think it is the most beautiful conclusion of 1 year that I spent speaking of peace everywhere in the world. So I am so happy, so proud of this presence. And then you have a reason more, you have the opportunity to say hello to the last international president. That is always a great reason to be present to the convention, to say hello to the president that finish his job.
And to the president at the moment, I would love to know, because there's so much to do as a Rotarian, especially in your position, and there's so much to get excited about in Rotary. How do you balance all of that with some time for yourself, some self-care rather than service above self? And what do you do when you've got some time?
Sometimes I am a football player. About 20 years ago, I organized a championship in my district, and I was able to unite about 10 clubs. Each of the clubs formed a team, and we had a small championship. And we arrived second at the end of the championship. And I am proud to say that I was one of the worst players of the championship. But it is not important. It is not important to be a good player or not. It was not important to win or to lose, because it was wonderful to stay together, to play together at the end of the match. Whatever was the result, sometimes was a very shaming result, 10 contra zeros. But we went to eat together, to drink together, and to stay together. And why not? At the end of the championship, we organized also a project with the fundraising that we did for every match. It was a good opportunity to play, to stay outside, to know other people, to stay together, to fund money, and to do something for the project. If I remember well, the project was a project in Morocco, if I remember well, something for for thalassemia in Morocco.
Oh, that sounds like you got straight back into fundraising there. Dave, how do you manage to have a switch off and relax?
Well, you know, a lot of times we always say Rotary has fun too. So wherever I go, I like to have a little bit of fun and relax with my Rotarian friends. But to the convention, for those that have never been to an international convention, there's nothing like it. The House of Friendship's incredible. We're actually doing 3 breakouts. Plus, we have been asked by Rotary National to partner with the Peace Action Group for the Peace Hub, which is a 700-square-foot space in the middle of the House of Friendship, which will have 6 presentations today. And I love Francisco and Steve for you all to be one of our presenters. Maybe we do one on fellowships. And we're going to have Habitat Humanity and Shelter Box and some others there. But it's a great way to showcase Rotary and there's nothing like it. And, you know, it's funny, when you wear your Rotary pin wherever you go, your family. I go to all the world and I stay with Rotarians because I met a Rotarian in Australia that invited me to India. I went and stayed at his house in India when we were doing a project there. So that's the power of Rotary.
And Steve, how do you chill?
Well, this is not going to come as a surprise. Football. It is. I mean, it's one of my things. I also work at the football club. I've been working there today. It's been beautiful sunshine, and it's a tough job. I sat there stood there on the side of the pitch, and I just chatted to people about football all day, and tried to stop people from running on the pitch as well, and things like that. But no, I do Q&A sessions with the ex-players and things like that. But that, I suppose, is officially work. But actually, do you know, the one thing I love to do is just a lovely walk, a lovely long walk. This dog that we got 6 years ago, an extra member of the family. And for me, my headspace time is walking in the woods with the dog. It's what I love to do.
Well, from walking and running, what's running out is now the time, as the studio clock is reminding us. And that says that we've had our time for now. It's been wonderful to speak to you all. And we should probably draw this episode of Rotary Unscripted to a close now.
Thanks to Francesco Arezzo, to Dave McCleary and Steve Martin for 3 thoughtful and wide-ranging conversations. And our thanks, as always, to the team here at Swindon 105.5.
And you can find this and our previous episodes of Rotary Unscripted through Rotary Magazine's digital platforms and wherever you normally get your podcast.
So, Francesco, thank you ever so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you to all, and see you in Taipei.
And thank you, Dora, for being the glamorous assistant to assist there with the translation.
Thank you.
To Dave, it's probably lunchtime in Atlanta, so thank you very much for interrupting
your
lunch and joining us.
Thank you.
And Steve, hopefully a good end to the season for the Mighty Reds.
Well, I don't think so, but hey, it's still a beautiful game, isn't it?
It is indeed. So from Lissy and myself, goodbye.
Bye. You've been listening to Unscripted, the official podcast for Rotary in Great Britain and Ireland. If you'd like to find out more about Rotary or join us, visit rotarygbi.org. You can also read more stories in the Rotary magazine at magazine.rotarygbi.org. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then why not leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts? It helps to spread the word. And we'd love you to share this podcast with friends, family, and colleagues inside and outside of Rotary. You can also email comments or suggestions to editor@rotarygbi.org. This podcast has been recorded at the studios of Swindon 105.5.